yourself up, using the arm of the chair for support, straightened slowly, and smoothed the lap of her dark green house dress. Her slippers made a soft shuffling sound on the bare floor as she walked to the kitchen. She stopped at the sink to wash the two dishes she had left on the counter after lunch. Then she filled a plastic cup halfway with water and took her pills. It was 1:45. There was a rocker in the sitting room by the front window. Sophie eased herself into it. In a half hour, the children would be passing by on their way home from school. Sophie waited, rocking and watching the snow. The boys came first, as always, running and calling out things Sophie couldn't hear. Today they were making snowballs as they went, throwing them at one another. One snowball missed and smacked hard into Sophie's window. She jerked backward, and the rocker slipped off the edge of her oval rag rug. The girls dilly-dallied after the boys in twos and threes, cupping their mittened hands over their mouth and giggling. Sophie wondered if they were telling each other about the Valentines they'd received at school. One pretty girl with long brown hair stopped and pointed to the window where Sophie sat watching. Sophie slipped her face behind the drapes, suddenly self-conscious. When she looked out again, the boys and girls were gone. It was cold by the window, but she stayed there watching the snow cover the children's footprints. A florist truck turned onto Ellen Street. Sophie followed it with her eyes. It was moving slowly. Twice it stopped and started again. Then the driver pulled up in front of Mrs. Mason's house next door and parked. Who would be sending Mrs. Mason flowers, Sophie wondered? Her daughter in Wisconsin? Or her brother? No, her brother was very ill. It was probably her daughter. How nice of her. Flowers made Sophie think of Joe. And for a moment, she let the aching memory fill her. Tomorrow was the 15th, 8 months since his death. The flower man was knocking at Mrs. Mason's front door. He carried a long white and green box and a clipboard. No one seemed to be answering. Of course, it was Friday. Mrs. Mason quilted at the church on Friday afternoons. The delivery man looked around, then started towards Sophie's house. Sophie shoved herself out of the rocker and stood close to the drapes. The man knocked. Her hands trembled as she straightened her hair. She reached her front hall on his third knock. "Yes," she said, peering around a slightly open door. "Good afternoon, ma'am," the man said loudly. "Would you take a delivery for your neighbor?" "Yes," Sophie answered, pulling the door wide open. "Where would you like me to put them?" the man asked politely as he strode in. "In the kitchen, please, on the table." The man looked big to Sophie. She could hardly see his face between his green cap and full beard. Sophie was glad he left quickly, and she locked the door after him. The box was as long as the kitchen table. Sophie drew near to it and bent over to read the lettering. Natalie's flowers for every occasion. The rich smell of roses engulfed her. She closed her eyes and took slower breaths, imagining yellow roses. Joe had always chosen yellow. "To my sunshine," he would say, presenting the extravagant bouquet. He would laugh delightedly, kiss her on the forehead, then take her hands in his and sing to her, "You are my sunshine." It was 5 o'clock when Mrs. Mason knocked at Sophie's front door. Sophie was still at the kitchen table. The flower box was now open, though, and she held the roses on her lap, swaying slightly and stroking the delicate yellow petals. Mrs. Mason knocked again, but Sophie didn't hear her, and after several minutes, the neighbor left. Sophie rose a little while later, laying the flowers on the kitchen table. Her cheeks were flushed. She dragged a step stool across the kitchen floor and lifted a white porcelain vase from the top corner cabinet. Using a drinking glass, she filled the vase with water, then tenderly arranged the roses and greens and carried them into the sitting room. She was smiling as she reached the middle of the room. She turned slightly and began to dip and twirl in small, slow circles. She stepped lightly, gracefully around the sitting room, into the kitchen, down the hall, back again. She danced.